When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Feeds DeRozan. DeRozan, pump fake for the win. Got it again! At the buzzer, DeMar delivers again. And DC, we will let ourselves out. Bulls win again.
Hey, listeners. I want to tell you about a new special limited series we have coming up here on the Athletic NBA Show feed. It is called Stargazing. It is hosted by The Athletic's fantastic Lakers reporter, Jovan Buha. Stargazing is a look at the lifestyle gurus and support systems around NBA superstars. Each episode will center on one professional that represents an aspect of NBA culture. It could be fashion, could be entertainment, nightlife, fitness, social media, as well as hear from the NBA superstars that work with these professionals. Some upcoming guests include Vince the Barber, Ronnie 2K, Rich Fresh, and B-Dot. Episodes of Stargazing will be released every Sunday starting on December 19th and will run through the NBA All-Star Weekend in February. That's Stargazing with our guy, Jovan Buha, Sundays right here on the Athletic NBA Show feed.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show.
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang! Hey,
y'all. With Zach Harper. Favorite athletic writer.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Bulls look for the win. DeRozan to win it. Go! DeMar DeRozan delivers.
I got the right mic. New year, new me.
Everybody recorded.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show podcast, Basket Buds edition on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Jay King. New Year, new him. We got Trevon Edwards. We got Mo Dakhil. And oh my goodness, we have a show for you. We got some debuts coming up pretty soon with Klay Thompson, Kyrie Irving. We got some Rockets locker room drama. We've got two early MVP talk. LeBron James playing center. But first, the basketball world has messed with the Bulls, and now they get the horns? Is that how that works? I don't know. But DeMar DeRozan's killing people.
That was bad.
On ridiculous, really rough. Ridiculous three-pointers. I'll say that. All right, so the one he hit against the Wizards, what a great play, right? Great play, great shot. The one he hit the game before, that like one-legged fire, that was a horrible shot.
It was horrible. But here's the thing.
But it went in. It went in.
No. But he actually wanted to do the one-legged.
I know.
It wasn't like he resorted to it out of a need because they were just defending him.
He really intended to do that.
So it's not an attractive shot, but it throws off the defender. Because
he looks like James Harden in an off-season workout. Like, that's what that looked like.
But that's worked on. It's supposed to like catch you off guard on it. And he wasn't having a great shooting night. So for that shot of all shots to fall,
that's only three. He
was
hit.
Just yeah. No, but I'm just talking about just in general. Like he wasn't playing the best game, and then to go back and just make it was like, oh, what the hell. So, but it bought him enough time to get the defender off of him because it's kind of like one of those shots that you just kind of like. What just happened?
Right. So I was, I didn't see the game live. I just saw, you know, oh, DeMar DeRozan game. I was like, oh shit, I'll watch this. Right. Turn on the clip and I see it. And so like the clock is just going down and down and down. I'm like, what the fuck is he going to, is he just going to like, did he forget Are we going to get one of these like J.R. Smith situations? Like, what's going on? And then he makes the move and like fires off one leg. I was like, what is he doing?
He was just plotting to get to that one leg. Oh my goodness. Yeah, the whole
just
time.
Classic one legged three. That was, I mean, he's on fire, obviously. Right? He's the king of the fours right now.
Wasn't there one off season when there were clips of James Harden just practicing that shot over and over?
It was a one-legged fadeaway in the corner three, and he tried it like once in the preseason, and it didn't go in, and we never saw it again. And all that's we heard about was like,
Harden couldn't master.
Yeah, even Harden was like, that's too much for me. I'm not going to do that.
But and this one was from the top of the key.
Yes, right. Exactly.
It was even harder.
Such a weird shot to take, but it went right. He buries the Pacers with it. Then he comes back next night really, and poor Wizards needed that win. And DeMar DeRozan, that's the only three he hit in that the only two threes he's hit in the last two games are those.
He has a Jimmy Butler type thing where he never wants to shoot
don't do
threes,
that to him
but when he does take them in clutch,
don't do that to him.
No, but when he does take the threes in clutch moments, he tends to hit them. Like, that's what Jimmy does. Jimmy avoids threes at all costs, and then if he takes a big one, you're like, that's going down.
He's a much better three-point shooter than Jimmy Butler, I feel.
I don't know. I don't know.
I do,
this
man.
I think
in general, he's just getting a raw deal, man. That dude works on, like, again, the same way y'all didn't believe early on when I tried to tell y'all that he was coming. You know what I mean? Like, in the fourth right now, this dude is shooting 53, 54, and 88, right?
That's insane.
Right, but Trey, the previous five seasons, he shot 27% from three. Like, he's not a good three-point shooter.
But but again, he doesn't take them either. Like, it's not even like it's a thing. So this year, his confidence is high. He's playing with a whole new, you know, supporting cast. He's playing guys that he actually like. You know what I mean? Like, again, he never wanted to leave Toronto. I'm not saying that he didn't like his other teammates. He's probably one of the most respected dudes in the league, right? And in this particular situation, a team that he probably would have played 20 seasons with when Toronto shipped him off to San Antonio. Mm-hmm. In that instance, he is a student of the game. He got a chance to learn under Pop. Pop put him in uncomfortable positions where he had to play the point guard. He had to play power forward sometimes. And that made him an even better basketball player. So now, playing with that newfound confidence, that new vision of the game, I'm not saying like the Bulls are going to go out and just win the championship, but they've needed this for so long because Zach LaVine doesn't know how to win. I'm not saying that Zach LaVine was never going to be a winner, but it was similar to the Chris Paul situation going over to Phoenix. You brought someone over who's played in the playoffs, probably hasn't had much success in the playoffs, but he knows how to get there. Before DeMar joined the Bulls, Zach LaVine hadn't won three consecutive games in his professional career since the Olympics. That's sad. So now to have a mirror image, like these guys' stats are so similar, but they're not really approaching DeMar as the guy. I mean, we would look at it as DeMar making these game-winning shots and being able to close out in the fourth quarter to say that he's the guy, but they're going as equals, we versus me. And it's been working. They're the best team in the East. You know, you got an acting coach in right now who's doing an amazing job drawing up the plays, putting them in a situation, and I think that this is the most exciting Chicago's been about sports in like
since Rose.
Since Rose, yeah. Butler and Noah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Dang, shouts to Dang. But you know, like to take it for what it is, right? And again, we're realists about this. We understand that there's still 50 some games left and it's early. But the Bulls are fun. We've been saying it. We've been kind of hitting on it. And, you know, we were waiting on it to fizzle. And it hasn't. I think they figured it out as far as the regular season. And I think that's, you know, that's something to be excited for if you're a Bulls fan.
Yeah, they're so chaotic in a good way on the court. Like, I think – I really do think, like, it makes them very hard to deal with on random nights in the regular season. Right, like having a good, like I think if you have time to prepare for them in a postseason, and we'll see how it goes. Like DeMar just may be on another level right now. They may have enough firepower to do what you know the Hawks did last year, but I think on random nights in the regular season, like Mo, like it's just they create so much havoc for the other team.
I mean, there's so much going on, and they don't even have Ball out there or Caruso. Right? That adds that even more havoc, right? And causes more chaos for the other team. So it's like, you know, it's almost pick your poison between those two guys. And, you know, if they both get going, you're screwed. You have no chance as a coaching staff. You know, you're trying to shut those guys down. It's hard enough. Like, how many teams have the ability to guard two perimeter high-level wings? You know, usually everybody has, like, one wing defender, you know, if that. And most teams don't. So it's like you got to put one on DeRozan or LaVine, and the other guy's probably going to cook and going to have an advantage. So it's just tough. And then night in, night out, as you're saying, Zach, like, you can't even just sort of tilt your game plan to try to take on the Bulls.
It doesn't shock me that they're winning games in this way. It does shock me that DeMar DeRozan's hitting threes to win these games, not shots. Like, he's like, we know at this point, you can see it this year, he's having the best year of his career by far. And the footwork that he uses to create every single shot in the middle of the floor, it's the reason, like, he is one of those exceptions to the rule, right? When it comes to the mid-range. No one's saying, hey, DeMar needs to, like, no one's saying anymore, I should say, hey, DeMar needs to just, like, figure out how to shoot threes and everything. Like, the last two nights are outliers. And they're outliers for a reason. But he's one of those guys where he has created, like, just this buffet in the middle of the floor that he just picks, all right, I want to go here, I want to do this, I want to do that. And no one can stop him right now. Nobody can. And maybe at certain points, defenses will just make anybody else beat them. And maybe this kind of, like, weekend helps emphasize that at end of game stuff. But Jay, like, I think right now he is just blowing up everything that teams are throwing at him because he is so skilled with his feet.
Yeah, and the Bulls are number one in the East. they're really number one in the East. As someone who wasn't a believer, it's been fun to watch how all their pieces have fit together. I didn't think DeRozan and Zach LaVine could play together with Vucevic because, like, how are they going to defend? Will they even be good on offense? Because those are guys who need the rock. And it's like, it's just worked out really well. Yeah. DeRozan has been their guy, their closer. And I think it says a lot about LaVine that he's been willing to give up those shots and he's been cool with giving up those shots because he's
in a
always
contract
been
year. He's playing for a max deal and he's willing to give the, like, that's crazy. That you don't see that. Yeah.
How much of that comes from, like, playing in the Olympics and playing with those guys that he played with?
I was just going to say that.
Of course, it's the Olympics. It rubbed off on him, you know, just making sacrifices. You know what I mean? Him, Devin Booker, a couple guys, even though Devin Booker's first playoff appearance was a trip to the finals.
A trip to the finals, right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? but just riding that high of being around guys and how they prepare. You know what I mean? Like, when you – most guys that come back from the Olympics, they come back with a different mentality to their teams. It's like going to summer camp and playing AAU, and then you go back to your high school and play, and you're like, I got to step it up. You know what I'm saying? And in this particular situation, the idea of getting a gold medal was like, wow, this is the peak of my career right now. And I haven't done anything for my own personal career. DeMar doesn't get enough credit for his leadership too. You know what I'm saying?
For sure,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. One thing that he's done is implement. Like, Billy Donovan, his success with the Bulls is because he can coach this team like a college team. You know what I mean? Like, you got the gritty, scrappy guys in Io and Caruso. You got a scorer in Zach LaVine. You got DeMar DeRozan would be the senior that's leading in scoring. You know what I mean? Like, and it's really shaped up that way. And especially with the you know, the portal of guys having to go into health and safety protocols, they have 15 guys. That's tough. That would hurt another franchise. But these guys have been able to, you know, next man up. Similar to the Brooklyn Nets. You know what I mean? And that's why these two have a great system, because they're all playing hard. They're bringing in the right personnel. Like, the 10-day guys are even screened through a certain way of who they're going to bring around their players that are on the active roster. So, you know, hats off to the GM and the front office of the Bulls to keep this thing going. You know what I mean? Even when DeMar was out.
Such a different vibe than Garpax and Boylan, right? Like, oh, just man. Like, my God. Oh, man. Zach LaVine's got to feel like he's in air. Heaven. Like, just.
I'm not even mad at how Bulls fans are reacting, because it feels different this year.
You know, enjoy, like, that shit. Like, thing. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know what I mean? Like, even watching the games, like, you know, even the bad matchups are even good. You know what I mean? So it's been competitive. And, you know, when Chicago, I haven't felt this way in a long time, but when Chicago Bulls are playing good basketball, and the NBA's in a good spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Yeah, I mean, it's kind of similar to the Knicks, but, you know, like, again, this year hasn't been the back-to-back situation for them. So,
going from something really good to something really bad, we'll go to the Lakers real quick.
Well, over I thought we were last, going to the Rockets, but not yet, the Lakers
not
is
yet.
Cool.
Not yet. No, we'll kind of just kind of downgrade each topic there as we go through. But center LeBron James, the last seven games, you guys, check these numbers out. These are ridiculous. 36 points, 10.9 rebounds, 6.1 assists, 1.7 steals, 1.6 blocks, only 2.9 turnovers, 57.8% from the field, 42.1% from three, 79.2% from the free throw line. Oh, man, and they're 2-5. But yeah, just want to throw that in there that they're 2-5. It's so unbelievable to me. It is so bewildering that LeBron James is playing out of his fucking mind right now. And it's irrelevant in terms of like wins and losses. Like, he's having these 30-point games, and it doesn't matter because they're so, I guess, incomplete without Anthony Davis, and there's just such a malaise about that team. That, I mean, and their two wins in this stretch, and granted, like, they're all their losses there are legitimate losses, right? They lost to Chicago, they lost to Phoenix. Well, they got blown out by San Antonio. That probably shouldn't have happened. But they lost to Brooklyn, they lost to Memphis, but their two wins are like, they gutted one out against Houston, and then they blew out a Portland team that doesn't want to be there anymore.
I got one more stat for you, Zach.
Yeah.
In the last seven games, and this will kind of explain why LeBron's numbers have been great, and it doesn't matter. When he's on the court, the team has a net rating of 1.9. When he's off the court, the team has a net rating of minus 21.6.
Good Lord. That is a swing right there. Oh, my God.
So if he can't play 48 minutes.
Yeah, that's the thing. This team is, like, making his stats irrelevant right now. Like, it's crazy.
What's crazy is
minus 21.
The minus 21 isn't even American? The craziest part about that, though. The craziest part is that LeBron is playing picture-perfect basketball.
And they're plus
and they're
one,
barely, right. barely treading water even when he's on the court. Like, right. that's how bad they are right now. And they're just trying to figure stuff out, especially while Davis is out. Like, they won a title a couple years ago. They played a ton of big lineups. It was Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard. They played together a lot. They had one of the best defenses of the league, probably the very best defense when they were locked in. Now they don't have that anymore. Dwight Howard and DeAndre Jordan have basically been wiped out of the rotation. They're going small, but they don't have defensive-minded players anywhere. So going small means you're going to have a very bad defense. So,
and you
LeBron
at
center is fun, and I think they'll actually benefit from this stretch because getting to that lineup would have been tough if they were at full strength. And I do think that in the playoffs – some center LeBron lineups will be useful, but they are really, really searching for things right now.
You mean the play-in tournament?
You know why LeBron center works? Because LeBron doesn't care about positions.
Right.
Everybody else makes a big deal. Oh, I don't want to be a center. Oh, I don't want to be a power forward. LeBron just goes out there and plays, man. He's a basketball player. Basketball has always been about basketball. The positions just kind of simplifies it and gives you a ceiling of what you can do and what you're limited to do. You know what I mean? Like, once you're putting us in a role for certain players, it's like you're not bringing the ball up. You know what I mean? Like, that what removes that whole situation of what we get from a pickup game. You know the point guard is going to play make. You know this. But with LeBron, he's playing 1-5, but actually with him being the center, now he doesn't have to guard faster players. He can kind of quarterback from the back end on defensive sides. And then also gives him that freedom for mismatches on the offensive end. Like, we haven't seen seven straight 30-point performances from him in a minute. You know what I mean? So, like, obviously he's playing like a madman out of, you know. And only thing that I can take away from LeBron right now is media outlets talking about his age. We get it. get it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, of course. Like,
no one's done this at this age. Like, yeah, right. I mean, of course. Like, you're not supposed to do this.
I mean, no. But no one has ever had an opportunity to still be the number one option at his age. They normally force you out and pass it on to a young buck, which they were supposed to pass it over to Anthony Davis.
And I was about to say, he's just not ready for that. Trey, I was about to say, like, yeah, on a good team. And then I realized, oh, no, they're not a good team. Yeah. So it doesn't matter.
But the big.
And that's why he has the luxury to still control the situation, yeah. Which, you know, with shot attempts, imagine if, you know, they had a better. Imagine he played with, like, Damian Lillard. Will Damian Lillard sacrifice his field goal attempts to be second fiddle, or would it be an easier baton pass? And LeBron's like, okay, well, I'll take less shots. And now, for the first time in LeBron's James career, outside of that 1 year when he was acting weird with Miami, not knowing if he's the alpha or not, he would be in a position where he's like, I'm not the guy anymore. But I don't think he'll ever accept that, just because he has to be in control.
Yeah.
So. He'll give you a fake promotion of like, here, yeah, you're the guy. I'm gonna make you, you know, because he can pass. He doesn't need to touch the ball to be effective like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's what helps him in this instance of like playing well, and you know, but his team is just not that good.
Yeah, it's funny. This is the fewest, and obviously there's time to change this, but this is the lowest assist average he's had since his last year in Miami. Like, he's just gunning, and he has to, I guess, right? Like,
I mean, don't know.
Some of it's just guys
more than he normally does.
Taking 20 shots a game.
Guys just don't make shots.
He's taking 20 shots.
Yeah, but the other thing too, though, that's been really good for him for the Lakers with him playing at center is him setting the screen and roll with Russ. You know, like that whole pick and roll.
I want to see more of it.
They need to kind of keep that going a whole lot more. Now, I don't know when teams are going to realize, yo, Russ can't shoot, so maybe we should stop going over the screen and maybe go under. But like, until that happens, like, they just need to run that constantly, because that's been getting them the most stuff, because that's where they're able to get LeBron in a 4-on-3 situation. He's going to make the right read. He's either going to get a bucket or find an open shot for somebody else.
Them going over the screen, Mo, has to be that they don't want the switch, right?
Yeah, but you could just go under it. Let Russ step behind and shoot the three, right? Like, it's not
I'm trying to figure out what the strategy, like, what the purpose of the strategy would be to go to chase around that screen rather than pop under it.
The one thing I'll say that the Lakers do sometimes with it is they set it a little bit lower, which does make it harder to go under, because then it's like you go under and Russ has a chance to go
full
speed.
Now he's in that sweet spot. Yeah.
Yeah, from the elbow, he has a chance to get to the rim. So I think that's part of it too. But like, the Lakers need to crush that and keep doing that all game long when LeBron and Russ are on the court together.
Yeah, I just want these stats to matter. I guess they do for like the all-time stuff, right? Yeah. Like, he's back to scoring.
It was a perfect time as far as his birthday, the new year. It's festive. You know what I mean? Like, you can go into all that. And
do you
it happens at the right time.
New year, new LeBron?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Year 19? Is that what he says? Like,
oh, man. I don't know. Dude, year 20 is going to be unbearable.
Oh, my God. Oh. It's going to be.
But he had a cool stat, you know, about the lifetime thing of, I think he was, no, he's the youngest player to average 25 and the oldest player to average 25.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah, he's got some unbelievable stats at this point, Trey, like just in terms of those little nuggets, yeah.
Arguably GOAT. That's what I'm going to start calling him. The arguably GOAT.
Arguably GOAT. Arguably GOAT. I'd like for them to arguably make the playoffs. That's what I'd like.
That's the only thing I want right now.
Like for them to arguably stop a shot.
They're only one game out of the sixth seed.
Yeah, I mean, sure. They're one game out of the sixth.
They might avoid the play-in game.
Against a Clippers team that hasn't had like their two stars in a while. And a Denver team that is Jokic dragging
the
G-Leaguers to win.
Hold on. But Jay, they've been one game behind the sixth seed all season. Like, they've never made up the ground.
Also, they're one game ahead of the Wolves. That's how you know it's not going well, okay? Whenever you're only one game ahead of the Wolves, you're not having the season you're supposed to have.
I saw Greg Monroe have a hell of a night, man.
Shouts to Minnesota Moose.
Moose of soda?
That was one of my right, favorite moments
stop.
This
please
season.
Please stop. Please stop. We're not doing that shit. Leave that in 2021.
2.5 years, and he just diced up the Celtics.
Hold on. Well, you know what? I'm not even going to be mean about this. You're right. I was going to push back that. No, he had 11, 9, and 6. That's a big game.
He
That's
was like Jokic in the fourth quarter. Like, oh, my God. Yeah, he was picking those and finding guys. It was incredible.
I mean, he hadn't played a professional game in the NBA in like 700 days. So that's
He didn't even know cool. some of his teammates' names.
He still doesn't know their names.
yeah. To be He's fair, just calling them by number. Hey, 23, give me the ball.
Hey, 2-2, get the swing that
thing. Most teams don't know their teammates anymore at
That's
this
true,
point.
Man. Like, the teams are literally just picking up local players. Who's qualified to play in an NBA game tonight, and are you local so we don't have to travel?
I mean, the Raptors did a film session of just showing the guy, their teammates, what their other teammates can do.
Yeah.
They didn't even run a film session of like what our opponents can do. It's like, hey, so the guy next to you, he likes to shoot. This guy likes to pass. Like, it was just, it's wild.
That's special.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Let's go to some too early MVP talk. Is DeMar DeRozan the MVP right now? We'll go back to DeMar.
No.
What?
Absolutely not.
What? Why not?
Because Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry exist.
Listen, I love DeMar. Love him. But no, we're not going to do this. Not yet. No. I think that he deserves to be in the conversation. Absolutely.
Look, if the season ended
today.
No,
hold on. He does not. I hate the conversation talk. He deserves to be in. No, he does not deserve to be in the conversation.
DeMar DeRozan?
He deserves to be like.
They're the number one team in the East.
He deserves to be late in the ballot. But there's, I don't think there's any legitimate case for DeMar DeRozan to actually be the MVP over Stephen Curry or Kevin Durant. So he's not part of the conversation because there's no way I can frame it to make
him
the MVP.
Being a part of the conversation is three. We do this for LeBron every year. How come DeMar can't be three?
But
I don't understand.
To me,
it, Jay.
If you don't have a case to actually be MVP, you're not in the conversation. You're just a guy people dismiss in the conversation.
No, Jay, this is not a Paul George
they're
situation.
First in
okay?
the East. This is one of they're my first in the East.
No, yeah, they're Jay. First in the East. He's the best fourth quarter player in the NBA this season. He's hitting game winners left and right. He's averaging like 27-5-5.
And he's at
you're
best,
drunk, Jay King.
At
Jay,
best, Jay. Third or fourth in the MVP ranking.
His numbers, but his numbers are better than Steph Curry's.
Jay, he has a net rating of 20.4 in clutch situations.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, that's value.
He deserves to be on every ballot at this point.
At one.
But, like, there's just no world where he's the MVP over Kevin Durant or Stephen Curry. That's just...
I think that's insane.
I mean, listen...
What more do you want him to do?
That's crazy. But Jay...
He's not as good as those guys. There's nothing he can do about that at this stage.
Jay, it's not about being as good. If the Bulls somehow just had some crazy, miraculous 50 game, the next 50 games, how can he not be in that conversation? We don't know. We can't predict anything. Right now, what we've seen with the Nets, what we've seen with the Warriors, great. That's why we have those two players kind of locked in at the moment and what the Bulls have been doing, but you cannot take away what this man has been doing. He's missed the fourth quarter for a reason.
I'm not trying to do that. I realize
they're number one in the East for a reason. Off
as two down on DeMar, who's been
you
amazing.
You just said there's no way. And
probably.
I'm just saying he's not on the level that Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry
His numbers are as good as Steph's, if not better, and his record is better than Kevin Durant's.
How many game winners have those two players ahead of him hit this season?
Combined. That's a totally irrelevant stat to me. Why?
What do you mean? He's winning ball games for his team.
The Nets just lost to the Clippers without Paul George, without Marcus Morris. I mean, they were had James Harden and Durant on the court.
How many losses are these players above DeMar DeRozan have to go through before it changes your mind? I don't understand.
I mean, the Nets are a game back of them, and they don't have nearly the supporting cast.
But you're comparing. You're saying that because he doesn't have the skill of these two players that he can't be in that conversation.
That's not what I'm saying. He's not as productive. He's not as important to his team. His supporting cast is much better than either of those guys.
No. You're crazy because the Nets, as of January 5th, is going to have James Harden and Kyrie Irving. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have really good role players, too.
Like, we can't keep, let's not
talk about the Warriors, bro. Don't do it. Because when they get Klay and when they get all that back,
brother. They haven't.
I just don't understand what you mean. Trade with the Hulk Hogan brother.
That's how you know you're in trouble here. That's how you know you're on the wrong side.
I just don't understand how you could say DeMar DeRozan isn't as important to the Bulls as the other guys are to their teams. I just don't understand how you
he's
say
not
that.
As good. He's literally the reason they're number one in the East.
The reason he's not as important.
It's not Zach LaVine, it's not Caruso, it's not Lonzo Ball. Like, they got him and
he's fantastic.
Got good.
He's been incredible. His fourth quarters have been magnificent. The two shots he hit were outrageous.
If you want to argue that this isn't going to keep up all year, I'm into that. That's fine. Like, that's a conversation
we can
have.
I'm just arguing.
No, I know.
I'm
trying to give you a good argument here, not the one that you have. The one you have is not good.
So you're saying DeMar DeRozan has been better than Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry this season?
I think he's been better than Steph.
That's outrageous. Okay, but continue.
Their numbers are almost the same across the board, except DeMar DeRozan hits a way higher percentage of shots.
What is that, like, because he takes twos instead of threes?
He's shooting damn near 50% from the field. Like, I don't think Steph's as efficient and accurate as you think he is this year. Steph's shooting 43% from the field and 40% from deep, which for him, both of those are pretty mediocre. It's the lowest that he's had. Like,
Steph is the reason why all those guys on that team, from Gary Payton II to Nemanja Bjelica to Otto Porter.
Steph's amazing. Yeah, I know. I agree.
The reason why those guys are all rejuvenated or fit in. Like, he's
We're not saying Steph doesn't deserve to be in the conversation. You're the one saying DeMar DeRozan doesn't deserve to be in the conversation.
Yes, I am.
That's our point, is the numbers are comparable, Jay. And he's the reason why the Bulls are number one in the East. I didn't have them anywhere in the top three in the Eastern Conference this year.
I think, to start the season?
Yeah. You know?
I didn't either. And they've been great. I agree.
And it's because of him.
I agree.
It's because of him.
Yeah. Like, he's the best. I don't know how you can argue that. Best fourth quarter scorer.
It's because they have Lonzo and Caruso, where they have extreme athletes everywhere. It's because the three guys at the top have fit in way better than anyone expected. And it's because DeMar DeRozan has been spectacular.
None of that works without DeMar DeRozan. I just want you to understand that.
If you put Steph on the Bulls, they're better. If you put Kevin Durant in DeMar DeRozan's place, they're much better. Like, that's just the truth.
But you're talking about just better players. This MVP is about most important for this season. And right now, I think I don't think there's that much of a difference with DeMar DeRozan on the Bulls. If you put Curry on the Bulls, they're not going to be that much different. If you put KD on the Bulls, they're not going to be that much different and that much dominant. I just think you're wilding out. I actually think you might be drunk, but you know, whatever you did on New Year's Eve is carrying over.
What did you do on New Year's Eve?
So you think you put Kevin Durant on the Bulls and they're not much different than with DeMar DeRozan?
I mean, Jay, they're not going to be.
Listen, Katie and Zach, they winning that shit.
That's what I'm saying.
Katie, you, Zach, and Booch, they winning that shit. Quit playing.
Don't throw.
Well, no, but when you put in that stuff in the regular, but in the regular season, it's not like they're going to be. They're not going to be on track for 73 wins. Right, they're not. We're not going to be going like this team is going to break the record or anything like that. They probably, the Bulls would probably be right about where they're at now. It's not like it's not that wild.
We know that because the Nets are right where they are right now.
Exactly. Like, Jay Weiland out, man. Jay, you're going nuts, dude.
I'm fine with if you say any of those three guys are the MVP right now.
Well, Giannis should be in there too.
Giannis should be in there. Jokic should be in there. There's your ballot right there. There's your five.
And don't anybody come at us with this LeBron crap. I'm beginning to see this thing on Twitter. Stop it.
Who? You guys gotta follow better people. Who's saying LeBron should be MVP right now?
I was gonna say they got a shitty timeline.
Well, I do nonetheless, but you're just seeing people going like you had all this energy for Curry last year, and you don't have it for LeBron this year. It's like no guys, like it's not the same. It's not even close.
We're also like five deep here this year. In the MVP conversation, like it's not the same. Man, things got heated here.
Also, I'm that was very contentious. Disgusted
at we started the new year right.
I'm disgusted at us having this MVP conversation this early.
You put it on the run of death, like, Trey.
Yeah, it was your choice.
You're in charge of this. You're in charge of this.
You tweeted out no early MVP talks, and then it's on the run of death.
No, that's what I'm saying. Should be too early. That's what I meant. Like, but also, I'm really kind of it's a debatable topic. Is it too early or not? That's what I basically
it's way too early.
For.
Yeah, it's way too early.
It's way too early, man.
But if the season ended today. Probably a really bad variance here, right?
Yeah.
Because we did that before. Yeah, we shut down that season before. All right, yeah, things got heated here. Things got contentious. It felt like the Rockets locker room. Boom, transition.
That was nice. We can all agree that was good.
Take a look. In the final seconds of the game, do you clear out? Is your head clear? Just give me a sense of you.
Yeah, you got to clear out. Going into the fourth, as long as the game close, you got to keep a level head, stay balanced, and, you know, enjoy the moment. You know, it was one of those tough games. Nothing was going right for us. We stuck with it. Got to give credit to my teammates. We kept fighting. Pulled out the win.
DeMar DeRozan, a phenomenal fourth quarter shot to win it. Six in a row for the Bulls. Congratulations.
Thanks. Absolutely clutch, incredible shot to put the Bulls 13 games over 500 for the first time since 2015.
You know, it might not go down in the box score as his greatest game, but down the stretch, DeMar DeRozan made every.
After giving up 47 American points in the second quarter to the Denver Nuggets and 77 points at halftime last night, Rockets went to the locker room. And according to Stephen Silas, this is courtesy of Mark Berman, Fox 26 on Twitter. Stephen Silas, quote, "We were angry at halftime that we had just given up 47 points. We watched the film. We had a spirited debate. I have certain demands of this group as far as playing hard. Making mistakes is different than giving effort, and I wasn't satisfied with the effort."
We were angry at halftime that we had just given up 47 points. So we watched the film. We had a spirited debate at halftime. And, you know, I have certain demands of this group as far as playing hard. Making mistakes is different than giving the effort. And I wasn't satisfied with the effort.
So then, according to Shams Charania of The Athletic and Tim McMahon of ESPN, here's a little breakdown courtesy of Pro Basketball Talk on NBCSports.com. John Lucas, assistant coach, basketball legend, Houston legend, John Lucas, called out several players, including Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood for their first half effort. Wood was coming off the bench to start the game due to a previous violation of a team rule. That's when KPJ and John Lucas got into a heated argument with Porter allegedly throwing an object. Porter did not go out with the team for the second half. Instead, he got dressed and he left the arena. Team said he was questionable to return with a thigh contusion, which he had been battling for recent weeks, but that is not what kept him out. Wood did not play in the second half. Silas said it was a coach's decision, but other reports are saying that he refused to check in. Porter Jr. and team officials, according to Kelly Eco of The Athletic, have since talked officials and KPJ have since talked, and he is apologetic for the overreaction. This is the kind of stuff I love, guys. I gotta be honest. I love a good locker room blow up. It's not quite as spicy and nice as the Draymond Green "I'm not a fucking robot" one from years and years and years ago. But I like.
Do we know what he threw?
I'm guessing like a mouthpiece or something, right? Like, I can't imagine it was like a like an 18th century vase or something like that. Like,
because it's probably, that could make it that could make it spicier.
Bowl of soup, maybe. J.R. Smith soup.
the tortilla soup.
Maybe he's throwing Sharpies at him. I don't know.
Oh, you think he like grabs like a handful, just starts chucking them at people? Oh, I like that idea. Like,
I'm just saying in a locker room, when you're really thinking about things, that's in an NBA locker room, guys are sitting in their specific sign lockers, right? And you're there. He's either standing up, he's sitting in his locker stall, checking his phone, whatever it is. And then you got Coach Lucas trying to talk to this kid. He ain't trying to hear it. So that's one thing. He probably got up. You know, the coach is probably drawing on the board. The coaches might be outside. Who knows? But when you're thinking of an object being thrown, you got a clipboard, you got
maybe
a pen,
chair.
I think we'd have found out if it was a chair. Chair's pretty big.
If it was a chair, he's probably off the team.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
That's probably extreme. But to throw an object, you got to think about like a Sharpie or something.
Maybe
or
a water bottle.
Racer, water bottle.
Or a water bottle.
Like a halftime snack or something like that. Maybe he has orange slices.
Now, we don't know that he threw something at John Lucas, right? He may have just thrown something against the wall. So, like, in that case, a chair, if he just, like, threw a chair into, like, an empty locker, into his own locker, against a wall or something, I don't think that's necessarily, like, off the team.
By the way, he definitely didn't hit. He wasn't trying to hit Luke.
No, Luke would have lit his ass up.
Choked his ass out.
He would have lit his ass up.
I wonder if mid-throw he was about to and thought, like, oh, wait a minute, that's Luke. I'm going to throw it this way. Man. The wildest thing is he left.
Have we heard any other stories about people leaving at halftime of an NBA game? I respect that, man.
He's just like, you know, I'm too heated. I got to remove myself from the situation. Like, I kind of respect that about him.
I have a story, Jay, for you. From my Clipper days. We had just signed Big Baby, and Doc was the coach, and Big Baby was upset about something, right? And I'm breaking down the game. It's not halftime. It's almost the end of the first half. And all of a sudden, Big Baby comes storming in, screaming about something. And he's literally getting dressed to walk out. And the hotel is walking distance that we're staying at from the Toyota Center. Like, I ended up having to get our strength coach to run out. I'm like, yo, you need to go get one of the assistant coaches and let him know, you know, Big Baby's leaving right now, you know. And this is, I think Blake got hurt and was in the locker room at that time. And I remember, you know, everybody was just kind of like, what in the hell is going on? Because our whole training staff was in the training room and just Big Baby storming and going completely ballistic. And we had to, like, convince him to come back. And he had just signed, like, maybe 3 weeks ago.
I mean, he's not named Big Adult for a reason, right?
I still don't know what it was that led to him storming off.
Something great. Something glorious. He and Doc Rivers always had a weird relationship.
The fact that he could treat that like a high school game, that's what I thought about it.
Yes.
He left. Yes. Like, the high school game is like, yo, we lost him for the year, or he'll be back, or he'll be at school the next day and we could talk to him. That's what type of vibe KPJ gave me. Like, it's very rare a player is like, all right, I'm out.
Right.
In a pro game, right. Like, he gone. He wasn't even there. Like, that's crazy to me to see somebody like, all right. Like, imagine you showing up to the game late at halftime and you see KPJ, like, leaving the arena. Like, a random car driving out of the arena from the player's entrance part. I'd be like, what the hell?
I mean, it's probably like the valet guys in the tunnel were like,
there's no way they were ready. There's no way.
Really?
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to save this for Jovan's pod, but one of my homies that was in the league, and they just have to guess, but he was on the IR at that particular time. And I'm at the game. He done left me tickets and everything. He's at home. He left. He left. So I'm like waiting, like the game.
Trying to link up.
You know, they lost bad. They lost bad. I'm waiting. I got my family pass and everything. And I'm just waiting. So I'm watching all the players come out. I'm like, yo, have you seen such and such? They like. So I text. I'm like, yo, where you at? Man, I've been at home since the third. You weren't going to tell me? All right, man. It was crazy.
It's wild that he left you family passes and left. Like, what are you going to do? Dude. Hanging out in the family room?
And you know, this is pre-COVID. Like, this is almost, this pre-internet, honestly. This is 2006, dude. So I'm sitting here.
The internet was definitely around.
I don't even
know. Not basketball internet.
No, but I'm talking about basketball internet. It's MySpace. That don't count. That just teaches you how to be a code in the nerd, right? So in this particular situation, you don't really get tipped off unless somebody really, like, calls you or texts you, right? So, like, sitting there and not even, like, ever being in that, having the actual etiquette. I've probably been to 1,000 games now and knowing, like, oh, all right, I know these guys text at half now. Like, at that time, I didn't know any of that stuff. So I'm just sitting there like, all right, cool. He's like, and I left. Because he didn't sit. But it was kind of obvious, too, because he didn't sit on the bench. He watched the game from the back.
Right.
And a lot of fans don't know that players do that sometimes. They'd be like, right. I ain't getting. They probably worked out previous before the tip off, showered, got dressed, and just was like, I'm going to chill and watch the game in the back versus sitting on the bench. Or you see him come on the bench. Yeah, they come back and sit in second quarter like, oh, there he is. He actually attended the game. And it's like, they just don't want to be there sometimes. Like,
oh, like it is what it is. On the road, we'd have guys sitting in the locker room while I was breaking down the game and we would talk. Just random stuff, you know. It's a very normal thing.
Yeah.
But the leaving part, not so much.
I love that. I really love that.
Throwing an object, not so much.
I bet it was like I don't know who said headband, but I bet it was like a headband. There's no way it was like something.
That was me. We're on the same team for one sec.
Fuck. All right.
You might need to rethink that.
Speaking of not wanting to be around, Kyrie Irving coming back. What?
I got one more thing to say about Kevin Porter Jr., man. Oh, boy. You're not that guy. You're not that guy, pal. Like, you're not a star.
Hey,
you're not someone who can afford to be leaving the building, if anyone can afford to be leaving the building, you are shooting 36.6% from the field this season. You have never shot better than 33.5% from three. I know you're talented. I know you have a lot to your game, but people are going to get fed up with you and they're going to stop giving you chances at some point. You gotta, is John Lucas, that's one of the most respected dudes in the NBA, like somebody who has been through everything. Like, just even if you're mad at him, and I know John Lucas can give very tough love, like, just don't leave the arena, man.
They've had such a weird season, right? Like, they had 15 losses in a row, and then they followed that up with 7 straight wins, and now they're like, I don't know, I think they've won like 2 of their last 13. They're on a 7-game losing streak. Like, Christian Wood's got to be the luckiest dude.
I mean, like, he doesn't
Houston because he just refused to check in the second half, and nobody's talking about it because Kevin Porter Jr. did something even crazier.
Oh, man. Rockets fans are so mad at me this summer for saying he's not good. Like, he doesn't contribute to winning basketball. I don't know what I was thinking. This is clearly it. All right. Let's go to Kyrie Irving's debut. January 5th in Indianapolis. Trey, is that what's happening?
Yep.
That's the date. That's the target date. He'll be back.
Guys say he look amazing. Guys say he looks amazing. I mean, I'm excited. I'm not even going to lie. Obviously, I know, off the court stuff, and, you know, you can have your opinion, but he's one of the elusive in the game. It's just one of those fun things to watch, man. And, you know, I'm really excited to see him perform, you know, whether it's a short time or a long time. You know, he got a chance to talk to him during his return to practice, and he was saying that he had been playing pickups with, you know, random cats in Jersey and no pro players. But then in practice, you know, guy, you know, like, it was like he never left. They jailed, and they already knew what was going on. So it should be exciting.
I'd be so pissed off. I was just trying to get a run in, and Kyrie comes to the court. Now I got to guard him in a pickup game. Like,
they're just trying to sweat off the Kyrie night before. Came in a pickup game.
That's when you got to do the KPJ and just leave. You're done. I'm out. Pull the hammy.
Man, I'm not trying to guard him.
I'm out.
So he can play in two of the next, what, seven games, it looks like. Looks like two of the next seven games are on the road at Indiana on Wednesday, at Chicago the Wednesday after that.
Chicago is going to be the game.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be really fun. And then they've got a four-game road trip at one point, Cleveland, Washington, San Antonio, Minnesota. They have a five-game road trip, but I think he'll only be allowed to play in four of those because one of them's in Golden State. So yeah, I mean, they got a bunch of road games coming up after this this little stretch here. February is heavy on the road, so we might see a lot of Kyrie Irving.
And I can't wait. I'm with Dre. Just want to see him, like, you know, whatever off the court. It's going to be fun to have him back on the court.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I still think that he's. I'm not buying the message that he's been thrown out there, right? Like, voice for the voiceless and all that stuff. And yeah. I don't buy any of that. Like, because you're not talking. So you're not the voice for the voiceless, right? Like,
and that's kind of hard to be. Been voiceless,
right? Exactly. Yeah, they haven't exactly been voiceless, but so I don't agree with a lot of that stuff. I have no problem if, like, I think he should get vaccinated. I think everyone should get vaccinated, as long as it is not like there's not an allergic reaction.
I also think come playoff time, if it's going to be like I just don't think he's gonna want to be out there with the guys even for the home games.
Better not get that one seed, Brooklyn.
Maybe that's why they dropped the game last night. That was it.
Oh, maybe they throw the game on the 12th against Chicago.
Game seven on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They might drop to four.
Do you think probably not, right? He wouldn't get the vaccine if he got to the playoffs.
It's not happening.
Oh man.
Right, not happening. Well, Don't even bank on it. He's not getting it this entire season. I don't think that he's even considering it a win, that he's just, you know, beat it out or anything. He's just, you know, he just chose not to take it.
It's simply like they need bodies, right?
Yeah.
That's all it came to be. That's like us doing a pod. Me and Jay catch COVID, and we need to fill the five. Right. And they bring in random pod guys off the timeline. Zach's like, yo, they don't get the chemistry. And then now the Athletic's making me record.
Sounds like a nightmare. Five
pods with three random.
All right, you know what? Kevin Durant, hands down MVP. This just gave me some kind of future PTSD. This example.
I want to see if they can reach the level they did last year.
That would be fun. Yeah.
When they were all healthy last season, that offense was just perfect. Like having Joe Harris, who's been out for a long time, whenever he gets back, it'll be a huge deal. Having Kyrie, and I know Harden's gone through some difficulties this year, but he's been playing well lately. I just want to see if they can reach that same level they did last year when they clicked almost immediately, and it was just problematic for defenses every single time. What they did to the Celtics in the playoffs in the first round last year when they were all healthy was just ridiculous. I know the Celtics were shorthanded. I know they weren't great in the first place, but that was some of the best shot making, some of the best offense I've seen covering the league.
Yeah.
It was just special. And so there are a lot of moving factors for them. They've got a different supporting cast. They've got, obviously, Kyrie hasn't played in a long time. Joe Harris has been out for a long time. But I want to see, like, can they put that puzzle back together the way it was last year? Because then they're the favorites to me. As long as Kyrie can play in the playoffs, I guess. That's so weird. That's going to be so weird.
It's super weird. I mean, if it's Warriors-Nets, he doesn't get to play.
Wow.
Right? That's crazy.
How mad would you be, like, extremely frustrated if you were James Harden and you're 30 whatever, and this is your chance to win a title
and do it against the Warriors, right? The team that kept you from glory so many times.
A minute remaining, and they're putting Curry in the pick and roll, trying to get him on Irving. Irving and Curry, one-on-one. Irving puts it up. It's good! Kyrie Irving from downtown!
You kind of see what you get. The ball goes in the hoop a lot. Have fun while doing it. You see some dunks, long threes. I mean, behind the scenes, we're not that interesting. You know, we're pretty normal. We enjoy our families, the outdoors, movies, music, art.
Speaking of the Warriors, last topic here. Klay Thompson has said that he wants that initial debut, that comeback from the ACL injury in the finals in 2019 and then the Achilles rupture last year. He wants that to happen in front of the home crowd. He believes the home fans deserve that. Well, they play Monday night, January 3rd, against the Miami Heat. And they play Sunday, January 9th, against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Rest of the time, they're on the road until the 18th. So when do we think that's going to happen? Tonight or Sunday? Probably Sunday, right?
I'm guessing Sunday.
Yeah.
I feel like we would have heard a few more whispers about him coming back.
It does. Unless, like, would you want... No, the Warriors wouldn't want a surprise with that. The Warriors are going to want that to be, like, highly talked about throughout, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to start the whispers, start the campaign. Yeah, we're targeting the ninth. This is going to be, you know, the return of Klay.
Oh man, I'm so ready for Klay to be back.
It's going to be fun. It's just fun having these dudes on the court.
And it's great. He's coming back to a locked in Warriors team that's great without him. You know, and like, what can he do to this team? Like, I don't think he would, like, if Klay had come back last season. I still don't know if they win a title. Their supporting cast is just like suspect. But now he's coming back to a team that it has one of the best defenses in the league. Just beat Utah without Draymond Green when the Jazz were mostly healthy and has just been humming all year. And add Klay. Like, Klay is one of those guys. He's not difficult to add either because he just runs around screens and makes things easier for everybody else. It's not like he's going to have the ball all the time. Not like he's going to take the ball out of guys' hands. It's just like, that guy is a really easy fit anywhere. I hope he's good, man. I hope Klay comes back great. The game will be so much more fun if it's Klay, Steph, and Draymond versus whoever in the finals. I need that.
Need that?
I need it.
You doing okay?
You need
it. I need
that.
It. Okay. I need it. The Warriors, they play such beautiful basketball this season, man.
Look at you, like, being all basketball romantic right now. New year, new you indeed.
New year, new me. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
What do we think? We think Klay plays 20 games this year? At that point? That would leave him about 40-ish, 41. You know, it's about halfway point in the season if he comes back by Sunday. And I'm assuming he's not just going to be out there all the time. He's obviously not going to play back-to-backs. You get 20 games out of Klay plus the playoffs, that's a pretty good win.
You almost got to ramp it up so that, you know, like, give him rest early, kind of work him in slowly, and then just by the time the playoffs are going, have him ready to rock. Like, that's all it is. Like,
yeah.
Everything what they're doing. So I think 20, maybe closer to, like, I'd probably say, like, 25 games. Just because that last stretch, you're going to want him to play consecutive, a lot more consecutive games. So I think that's probably the number I would target.
All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the Basket Buds on the Athletic NBA Show podcast, Athletic Podcast Network. Make sure you're checking out all the other shows. Make sure you're checking out What I Miss with Michelle Beadle, No Dunks, all the team-specific shows. Make sure you're subscribed to The Athletic. We're coming up on the halfway point of the season. That means it's home stretch to the playoffs and guys playing for championships and MVP arguments that will actually matter. Not this too early stuff that we misread in a rundown. None of that. So make sure you're getting all that information on The Athletic. Subscribe to TheAthletic.com for the best coverage of sports. For Jay King, for Trevon Edwards, for Mo Doc Hill, I'm Zach Harper. Thank you for listening to The Athletic.
We had a Hulk Hogan brother and a pal on this podcast.
Pal.
Yeah.